Yes, it's time for another action-packed podcast. Courtney, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm gonna quiz you here. What do
Ooh.
these people have in common with our guests? I'm gonna say Sherlock Holmes, Magnum PI, and the Batman. They all have something in common with our guest.
Tall and broody men.
Close.
Okay, so close.
They're all detectives. And our
Oh,
next
yeah.
is because Batman is a detective. You know he's a superhero. He's also a superhero detective, like Sherlock Holmes and like Magnum PI, of which I've been told I have bear striking resemblance to. But and I can say that on a
Yes, you can.
podcast, but only on a podcast. So our guest is a private eye. Ooh,
Ooh,
yeah.
interesting.
I'm thinking we should put some kind of private eye music in the background, maybe. You know what kind of TV show detectives should we put in the
Ooh, like
background?
Columbo, or does that age me? That's my reference.
Maybe Law and Order. Do do
Ooh,
do
yes. Oh my
do
gosh. One of my
do
favorite shows of all
do
time.
do do. Do, 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 do.
Used to be my cell phone ring. Back when cell phone rings were songs, Law and
Yeah.
Order was my cell phone ring.
Oh, was
Yes,
Well, you know what? When you got a guest so cool as to be a private eye at the, I don't think they need a
Yeah.
intro. We just let the private eye speak after this intro. But first, do 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 do. You are listening to Tribe Pod, a podcast series of interviews of interest to the HR community. It is hosted by Courtney Lane, produced by Jim Stroud, sponsored by Proactive Talent, and enjoyed by you. Today's episode begins right after this.
Recruitment marketing, as compared to maybe employer branding, is all about getting your message and your story in front of the right audience. It's a lot to manage, and what Proactive Talent does for our clients is we help centralize so you have one partner, one vendor to help you manage all those relationships. And not only that, we help you track the effectiveness of every media dollar you spend on hiring so that you know in real time that you're getting the greatest ROI for your marketing investment to attract great talent into your company. We help our clients with recruitment marketing in a couple ways. One is in recruitment marketing strategy. And with that, we really take the time to help you build the right strategy, and then we get mutual approval on that strategy before you spend a single dime. The other way we do this is through our agency of record service. This is a partnership with you where we're able to reach out to publishers on your behalf to negotiate better pricing, to execute on media campaigns, and really act as an extension of your team. Some of the benefits that our clients have seen working with Proactive Talent's recruitment marketing services is an overall reduction of 30% cost per applicant. That's really significant. It's showing that we're able to leverage great technology, programmatic, and we're also flexible and scalable. We're platform agnostic. We're always going to use whatever the greatest and latest technology is, whatever the best platforms are to help create efficiencies in your media purchasing so that you're always on the cutting edge.
For more information on Proactive Talent, visit them online at proactivetalent.com or click the link in the podcast description.
Awesome. Well, today I'm joined by Bob Mather, CEO and founder of preemploy.com, one of the leading background check companies in the country. And he has over 27 years of experience in the background check industry. So I feel like he's seen a lot of skeletons in closets. So welcome, Bob. We're so glad to have you here today.
Hi, Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning. So just to start things off, let's talk a little bit about what is preemploy.com. I mean, who are you guys? How did it get started? What makes you different than some of the other background check companies that are out there in the market?
So we got started, like I said, about 27 years ago when I was a private investigator. I still am licensed in six or seven states. And my specialty was workplace investigations. I only worked for human resource managers. And as you know, I mean, that's just, you talk about, it's a difference between professional investigations and sometimes high school or kindergarten investigations. Like, did he really just pull her hair at the desk? Or, I mean, okay, down to big embezzlement investigations, sexual harassment, discrimination, all kinds of investigations. So back about 27, 28, 30 years ago, background checks weren't prevalent. Mm-hmm. So I would have work for large corporations with multiple, or I have clients with multiple locations all across the United States. And in certain geographic areas, let's say of 150, 250, 300 miles, every once in a while, we would have an embezzlement case. We had one case where there was $10,000 missing. And we successfully did the investigation, went to human resources. This is who it is. There was prosecution. There was restitution. Went through the whole process. Well, about, I don't know, 7 or 8 months later, we had another $15,000 or $20,000 missing from another location 200 or 300 miles away. And the first thing we did is said, let's see the employee less who had access. And lo and behold, the same person we had prosecuted had just went down and got rehired and had did it again, had done it again. So that started really the concept of maybe we should do background checks. And back then it was not, you know, here's how fast it is. Here's this. It was, you should do background checks and here's why. And there was a big pushback. And to this day, what makes us a little bit different, and now we do thousands of background checks a day around the world. But I still struggle sometimes with how background checks are done, how they can be very invasive, how they can be a scary process. And so the candidate experience for us is very, very important, making sure that we go through and help the applicant come through the process. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, it's a crazy world. And in HR, in recruitment, in talent acquisition, we spend thousands or hundreds of thousands in some companies to recruit, right? Hey, and basically it's like any other relationship. We put it out there and say, hey, look at me, right? I don't care if it's a dating app, if it's a professional app, if it's my LinkedIn, our profiles up on wherever they're at. Hey, look at us. Come to work for us. Come join us. Come into this relationship. And then somebody goes, hey, I kind of like you. And look at me. Look, I can do exactly what you're hiring for. And we go through this dance like, well, let's talk first before we form this relationship. And then we meet and we talk, and now it's over Zoom or something like that, or Google Meets. Mm-hmm. And look, I like you. And the other person is, look, I like you too. I'm like, well, we should get together. We should spend, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's get together and we'll spend the majority of our lives together. How's that? 8 hours a day, we'll work together. Mm-hmm. And even when you're off work, I want you to kind of think about me, all right? We're like, yeah, I'll think about you. Let's join it. All right, this is great. Here's the benefits. Here's this. And then we go, hey, stop. Give me your name, your date of birth, social security number, and go pee in this cup. Everybody goes, well, what are you going to look for?
Yeah. You know, when I started off my career in talent acquisition, so I started off in an HR generalist type of capacity, and I was pretty black and white. And then I moved into talent acquisition specifically, and I started off as an onboarding coordinator. And my job was to manage the background check process. And it was absolutely transformational for me because it was the first time I really saw the impact of what you just described right there, all of the excitement and all of this. And then you come up to this moment where it's time to start the onboarding and the hiring, and there's a background check, and it can so quickly turn into a really scary, frustrating, sad experience for the candidate. Right. And oftentimes unintentionally. So there, you know, most of the time when I was having to deliver bad news, that person wasn't actually maliciously trying to sneak in or, you know, keep something hidden.
And applicants also pull themselves out of the process even though you would have hired them.
You're exactly. Like,
no, no. But they're like, no, this was so traumatic. It's the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. I don't want to talk it again. I don't even want to bring it up. I'm not going to work for you.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. And you're like, but wait, we don't care. If you had a DUI, if you had driving under the influence, look, that doesn't matter to us now. Everybody, we can look past that. I'm glad you took care of it. But no, they don't even want to talk about it. And you lose this applicant.
Absolutely. So what then, I mean, you've dedicated, you know, your career to this space. And so knowing sort of that human piece of it and how it can have that negative experience, I mean, how do you advise or lead your company so that background check experience still provides that value that the company needs at times, but isn't maybe quite as scary? I mean, do you have a philosophy around that or an approach that you all take?
Yeah, we do. Each corporation is different. You know, some corporations, you've seen it. Some corporations are no. If we find it, they don't work here. And they've got good reasons, liability reasons, insurance reasons, whatever it may be. Others are like, no, we're a family feeling. We want to have this culture. So the first thing is what I recommend is, and you probably went through this, you ordered the background check. Mm-hmm. But you really don't know what it is. It's still a mystery kind of to you, right? How does it work? What do you? And so step one is for talent acquisition for human resources to spend a few minutes and saying, look, can you tell me how this really works? Because I want to be able to talk to the applicant and I want to assuage their fears. I want to be able to just get them, just say, hey, look, this is kind of a formality. And so number one, at the beginning, be really open about it and understand it. And number two, tell them your expectations. Say, look, this is kind of a formality. If we see anything that comes up in your background, nobody else sees it except us, just so you know. And we never talk about it. So this is done. We can give you a copy of it. You have a right to get a copy of it. We'll go through this process together. There's nothing in there. It's just a piece of paper we stamp and put in. Right. So communication is really the key. And the communication starts with the vendor that you're using, the background check company that you're using. Because it's a weird to us, it's second nature. We're like, hey, you need us to get a criminal record out of the smallest court in Alaska. You want us to go get somebody through the snowbanks? No problem. We'll have it to you tomorrow. All right.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Is there in your opinion, is there a right time? And I know that there are certain laws in place, such as ban the box and you know, some of those regulations that dictate it. But in general, is there a right time when that background check process should take place or the discussion should start?
Yeah, I think it should be, if it was me, it would be at the beginning. It would be a link on all on the advertisements that goes to a nice, well-done video that says, here's our background check process. Here's what, and just explain it. So before they apply, because it wastes a lot of your money and a lot of your time. And it's very competitive right now, depending on which, I know a lot of people are out of work, but a lot of people are competing with unemployment. It depends on the level of the position you have. And a lot of people are afraid to come back to work right now. They don't want to be in that environment, whatever it may be. And so it's very competitive. There's probably hasn't been a time in recent memory that it's more important to get the people that are really, that you really need to run your organization.
Do you think having it early on the process though creates greater risk from like potential for discrimination, whether it was intentional or unintentional discrimination, that there may be certain populations that are more adversely affected by having it so early on?
Well, that's the rulings that it can be, right? And so that, you know, the disparate impact is a thing and it's really there. But I think that, and of course, run everything by your lawyers. It's not a secret that you're going to do a background check and it shouldn't be.
Right.
Right. What Ban the Box says is you can't ask if you've been convicted of a crime prior to a job offer being sent. Right. Well, that's fine. We'll do that. We're not gonna ask you anything. But at the beginning of the process, here's how you onboard with us.
Look, yeah.
You know, we're going to do a background check. And if you want to see what the background check is, click into Bob's company and he's got a nice video that explains how it works and how you'll get a free copy of it. And most importantly, if anything's wrong with your background check, here's what we're going to do to help you. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's a whole separate issue.
It is. Well, and so to me, it sounds like you're really saying it comes down to that sort of transparency and just being open and honest from the get-go that it's a part of it. Because I've certainly experienced it where people are surprised. Oh, wait, now I have to fill out a background check form.
Yeah.
And you're right. If you're not saying that very early on, it can create an awkward and sometimes negative experience for the candidate.
And we get calls every day from candidates saying things that we're like, no, relax. It's okay. Like they're upset. Like, are they going to call my ex-wife? Like, no, that's not part of the background check. Because she hates me and she's going to say things that are not true. Like, no. Here's how it works. It's public records. It's your employment verifications.
Yeah.
It's whatever, you know, the client orders, but they're like, well, what about my, we had one person call a couple weeks ago saying, I just want to make sure you're not going to talk to any of my teachers from high school.
Oh,
no. I know.
Bless their heart.
Yeah. One of the funnier ones was, though, that we had somebody who used we got a call from a preacher. Mm-hmm. And he asked for me. And so it went through the ladder. And I'm like, yeah, hello. And he said, you know, I just did a reference verification on so-and-so, an applicant. It's part of the background check process. And I don't know why that boy would use me as a reference. He's a horrible young man. I don't know. So yeah,
that is true.
Yeah. So transparency I think it helps the whole organization. In today's world, you have to be transparent about everything. Here's our work at home expectations. Here's our when you're in the office, here's the dress code that you're gonna have. You know, by the way, we're going to do a background check. We're going to do a drug test depending on your company. Here's how the process works. If you have any questions, make sure to ask us. We don't discriminate. It doesn't matter if somebody has a felony or a misdemeanor. Everybody is welcome. We make a one-on-one decision based on the circumstances and based on the position applied for. That's my advice.
I was going to ask you about that because I've worked for companies who have been worked for and worked with companies who have a very concrete matrix of it does not actually matter what your individual situation is. These offenses right here is an automatic no. And then I've worked with companies who do take context and sort of the broader story and narrative of what happened in a situation into consideration. Either legally, like maybe legally speaking or just in general, is there a right way there? Is it better to have a strict matrix?
You can't really. And once again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a law firm. I'm not giving legal advice. I feel like I should click something
this is
here.
Just a conversation.
Just a conversation. I really recommend that you talk to your legal counsel before making any changes to your hiring policy. Thank you. So, but no, you can't really have a matrix now. Back in the day, they did. You're right. And that's where, and it did have a disparate impact on minorities because it was just statistically there that, you know, ABC types of crime in this geographic area had a higher rate. But at the end of the day, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
Right? You take almost any crime and you know they have the saying that, you know, with enough money you can get out of everything. It's almost true.
Yeah.
Right? Two people with DUIs who have the exact same blood alcohol, exact same situations, but one has a better attorney, mm-hmm. has a different background check result a lot of times.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember seeing background checks where some folks it was coming back as a DWI and then others it was obstruction of a roadway because they had an attorney who was able right. to get it, you know, reduced down and right. didn't quite look the same on a background check. Didn't hit the same,
right.
didn't trigger the same bells. Of course, we all knew what that actually meant, but.
yeah. But if you were in a company that was doing a matrix at the time.
Exactly.
It didn't then, matter.
Didn't right. matter. It didn't matter. Right. Fell outside of it.
But don't you agree that it's just the right thing as a human to look at each one individually yeah. and maybe even talk to the person and say, hey, tell me about this. It looks like you took care of everything or you haven't taken care of it. Tell me what's going yeah. on. And yeah. when somebody says, look, it's a $5,000 fine. I'm doing my best, but I have these medical bills. But it was a mistake. It was horrible. I wish I wouldn't have done it. You know, that's different than, you know, you just make an intelligent decision.
Yeah. Now I can remember a situation where we had a background check that was pending for a very long time. And so we, you know, ended up letting the employee start under a conditional basis. They understood we were waiting on the background check and all of that. Right. And they were very, you know, upfront, you know, about it as much as they could be. And then when it finally came back, the way that it read, again, it was the same organization that had a matrix, didn't fit the picture of the matrix. And this isn't somebody who then had been working with us for several weeks and was very much loved and was a great employee. And we were stuck in this situation of, but our policy says we live in this very tight little right. box. And now we have to make a really hard decision here. And it was hard. And it was eye-opening for sure to you know, sort of go through that experience and
well, if
see
you,
the broader impact.
If you or your listeners ever want to see copies of settled lawsuits from companies who had situations like that, who used the yeah. matrix, just let me know. You can learn from others' mistakes because your company can get in a lot of trouble if you just have let's just call it a matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though without a matrix, there's still going to be situations, right? Where if I operate a daycare and somebody, a convicted sex offender applies, it's going to be a no, right?
Yeah. Right.
But that doesn't mean that's going to be in your policy and that's not going to be, you're not going to have a matrix.
Right.
It's just going to be, we look at each situation individually.
And I think that was, you know, I think the matrix, to your point earlier, was something that, you know, 15 years ago when I was starting off in HR, that was much more common than what you see right. now. But so I do have a question because my husband and I were chatting last night about this conversation I was going to have this morning. And he stumped me because he asked me a question that as an HR and TA person, I felt like I should have been better prepared for with an answer. But with GDPR, and all of the regulations that has pushed out and we've seen, does that give people the opportunity to basically opt out of a background check or?
No.
No. Okay.
No, we haven't run into that. It gives you the opportunity to opt out of cookies and advertising and the capture of information. But no, that's a separate that's a separate thing.
Okay. Yeah. He asked me and I felt like I should have very quickly known an answer to that. I didn't. No, does it affect the background check process at all? Have those regulations had an impact on the background check sort of experience?
Yeah, particularly overseas. Yeah. We have to make sure. But honestly, when it comes to a background check, there's so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws when you get into different countries and what you can access, in Canada, what you can't, like we get Iranian background checks, right? Mm-hmm. Or Pakistan, or how to access that information there's just a myriad of laws that you have to go through to make sure that you comply with ours and with theirs.
So Bob, I have to imagine that you've seen some pretty interesting things, both from a background check perspective and from a private investigator, probably more from the private investigator side of things. Do you have any favorite armchair stories of like, hey, this is my go-to cocktail party story, and you'll get a kick out of it.
So many. Well, when I'm talking to HR managers, you know, we just start, it's like we swap investigative war stories, and some of them are very serious, but some of them are just silly, right? So we had for one client, I had to talk to the CEO and politely explain to him that it wasn't a good background check procedure, and probably he should talk to his attorneys, but he really should not hire people from the Tinder app. He was convinced that it doesn't matter if I'm going to hire people and it's my company, I can hire whoever I want, and I will just use this app is amazing just to meet people. So we had to kind of go through.
So like, was he actually like wanting to like swipe through people and yes, make
he wanted
hiring the, decisions?
Yeah, he would take a screenshot, swipe, and then tell the HR, I'd like to hire, if not this person, someone like this for that position. Yeah, it was a nightmare. They had a lot of issues.
I would say so. I would think that there were some probably organizational culture issues that presented in other behaviors from him as well, would be my guess.
Yeah, it was challenging, and just the nicest HR manager, just was trying to keep everything running. We had one client where there was this was back in my investigative days when I did more embezzlement was really my specialty, and workplace investigation. So if it was any sort of harassment, but there was a large amount of product missing from the docks, so cameras were installed to watch the docks to make sure. And these were, high-end electronics were disappearing. So tens of thousands of dollars just weren't making it from the truck to the floor. So the videos ended up showing who the person that was the mastermind of it and how it was done. But he also showed this person having complete and full sex with the department store mannequins at the time.
Oh my goodness.
You asked. Okay, we're at a cocktail party. You asked. And so imagine as an investigator in a corporate environment, and you have to show this to the human resource manager. Mm-mm. You have to. You can't hide it. You can't. You have, it's just the most awkward awkward business meeting. So that's two that come to mind.
Those are fun. Those are definitely fun. Yeah. Are there certain, and I think I know the answer to this, but are there certain industries that you see more bad behavior from? Or is it like full stop, there's opportunity for bad behavior everywhere?
There's opportunity for bad behavior everywhere. And one of the things I learned really early on is the majority of people are great and are good people. You know, it's so easy to focus on the bad and mm-hmm. say, and you can really, particularly in my industry, you know, people are amazed how happy I am. I'm like, well, no, because we see some of the worst criminal records in mankind. The things we see are horrifying. Yeah. I don't even like talking about them, but also 99% of the other records are great, are clean. 90%, 99% of the people are 95% is really about what we run are just fantastic people, you know? So you can't really focus on the negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we're sort of wrapping up our conversation today, any final thoughts or advice specifically for our HR and talent leaders that you would want to maybe plant in their head as they're thinking about background checks?
when it comes to background checks, it's kind of it's a little bit about what we talked about, which is transparency is key, and transparency with your vendor. It's really easy now to treat your background check company as a commodity, but really you need to think of them as a partner, and because you don't want to lose your applicants.
Right.
The other thing that we didn't talk about really is criminal identity theft. Remember
that?
People don't understand how big this is. And particularly now in the past several months where no bail is going across the United States. So no bail is, it used to be if you committed a crime, you would have, that was serious enough, you would get booked into jail and you would have to the next day post a bond or bail to get out. Mm-hmm. So now in many jurisdictions, and it's spreading, you don't have to. You basically have to say, here's my thumbprint, here's my signature, I promise I will appear. There's no bail, you just get out. What's happening is that in one of the services we offer is a dark web search, where in the dark web, you can go out and get almost anybody's identity. You can take identities, and what a criminal does is has five or six identities. And so when somebody takes your identity, then they go get arrested and on no bail. Well, it wasn't you, but now when the background check comes up in you know, Tampa Bay or in Detroit or in Alaska or wherever this crime occurred, you literally have a warrant for your arrest. Because somebody right. used your name, your date of birth, your social security number, signed your name, and they're like, no, it's you. We have horror stories of people that cannot get this removed because the court system won't remove it. It's a horrible part of identity theft. Like if you had to choose, you want to tell the criminals, take my money, please leave my identity alone, right? You can have all the money, just don't mess up my name, date of birth, and social security number.
I would imagine that it would be difficult to get that removed and challenging, but on the silver lining side of it, have you gotten to see sort of the happy ending version where the person didn't know, they did the background check, now they're aware that they've got this out there and they were able to get it resolved, and had they not done a background check,
who knows what
would have happened?
One of my companies is called mybackgroundcheck.com, and it's a place where people actually come in and buy their own background checks, and I want to see what's on my background check. And that's where they discover this stuff that says, hey, time out, this is not mine. This is not me. I never lived there. I never did this. And we help them prepare to talk to the HR managers. God forbid they're applying for a company that does use a matrix, even though they shouldn't. And you'd be like, look, no, this is identity theft. It's not mine.
Right.
So between preemploy.com and my background check, we cover both sides. And I think that's probably why I'm more passionate about the candidate experience and empathetic to the candidates than probably a lot of my competitors. Because we really care. There's really some bad situations out there for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because you're right that identity theft piece does come up, and I have seen it come up at doing background checks, and you know, where you're just sort of you feel sorry for them, and thankfully when I've seen that happen, it's been in situations where we were able to say, we hear your story, we believe you.
Well, the law,
it's not going to impede you from getting hired with us, because you know we can, you know.
Right. Well, the background check company by law has to reinvestigate that. Oh, but really? So, and we gladly do it. Like, we get on the phone with them, like, hey, tell us what happened. We've got to get this cleared up for you. But if Timbuktu Courthouse says, no, listen, it is Courtney's name, it is her date of birth, it is her social security number. It's a fight. We're like, well,
yeah.
We had one background check where the mother had twins and named them the same name. First, middle, and last. And one was a horrible criminal. The other was a great person. And that was literally the, yeah. We were like, what? But, you know, now and when it comes to doing a background check incorrectly, there's the moral thing to do and there's the right mm-hmm. thing to do. But there's also tremendous lawsuit potential for the employer and for the background check company if you don't reinvestigate correctly.
Right.
So we say, you know, how happy we are to help, and we truly mean that. But there's also like, look, we've got to get this right. We've got to get this correct, and let's get this straight. You have a brother who has the exact same name, first, middle, last, and date of birth. Yep. And it's not me. That one was a nightmare. It was a, the brother who was the bad one was stealing, had falsified that he was an x-ray technician and was gaining access using his brother's clean identity to get access into the hospital and to do the things he was doing with drugs and with people. It was just a nightmare for us.
Yeah. I feel like that mom is. Yeah.
Can you believe
not a great mom decision, not a great parenting decision right there. I don't even know why you would.
They were probably laughing their way in the hospital going, oh, this is going to be the best thing ever.
Well, Bob, I have loved having you on here chatting with us today. If folks want to learn more about pre-employ or my background check, or even just chat with you or maybe folks from your company, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect?
We're at preemploy.com. So that's preemploy.com. And if you want to chat with me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn, Robert Mather, or search Bob Mather, whichever you can find. I hope you have some links in there. Just track me down. I'll talk like this for days. Anything I can do to help.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for being on and chatting with us today on our podcast. And we will talk to folks soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Very interesting conversation.
It was some juicy stories there from Bob. That was a lot of fun.
That, you know, a twin story should be a blockbuster movie. The twin, the movie, the good twin versus the bad twin.
Kind of reminds me, do you remember that movie Double Jeopardy? With Ashley Judd and Tommy Lee Jones. Not exactly the same, but it's some
the 80s movie, some, right? It's a 90s movie?
Early 90s. But there's some tomfoolery and trickery there with identification, like, you know, identity. So that's what made me think of that.
Yeah.
Put it in your movie queue.
I will. And then what was the other one? The mannequin story, which I'll call the bouncy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Not safe for work.
I'm thinking I should have put in some music in the background. Bouncy bow wow. But you know, we are a corporate family friendly. We were family friendly before the story aired. Well, we were before he told that story. We might have to label this one NSFW, not safe for work, just for that story. But I'm curious as to what the listeners think. Listeners, what did you think of this episode? Should we label this NSFW or should we not? I don't know. By the time they hear this, we would have decided either way. So did we make the right decision in labeling it NSFW or not labeling it NSFW? Please let us know by sending an email to tribepod at proactivetalent.com. We so want to hear from you. Courtney, any last words?
No.